We're going to talk in the other part of this program about management of people without targetable mutations, but I have to get your take after this past ASCO of where you are today in first-line therapy of metastatic disease and how you use PD-L1 and tumor mutation burden to make your decisions.
I think the data is convincing that I and really much everyone else are moving towards chemoimmunotherapy. That's clear now in non-squamous, where you can give carbo-pem pembrolizumab. That's now increasingly clear in squamous, where we have multiple trials showing benefit of adding immunotherapy to doublet therapy. And in fact, there was just a press release about in small cell lung cancer, adding immunotherapy to doublet chemotherapy. No data, but a press release saying that atezolizumab improves PFS and overall survival in small cell lung cancer. And so the writing's on the wall that we are moving towards chemoimmunotherapy for more and more of our lung cancer patients.
What do you think is going on when you see this benefit with chemotherapy added to immunotherapy? Do you think it's just 1+1, or is there some kind of synergy?
Great question. I think it's 1+1. I think this is an additive effect and not a synergistic effect. And the reason I say that is if you look at those PD-L1 negatives, right? If it's synergistic, I would want those PD-L1 negatives to be having clearly added benefit of adding IO to chemo. And what I see is that the PFS curves are fairly parallel. There's not a real difference in PFS. What you see is a difference in OS by adding them up front. And what I think this is that you're giving the patient a chance to respond to two different approaches. And these are two approaches that can safely be given together with a little bit of extra toxicity, but don't need to be given together. I don't think we're transforming patients into IO responders by adding it to chemotherapy. And in that regard, I still would rather give single agent IO. In my patient who is relatively asymptomatic and doesn't have a huge disease burden, in my patient who has a really high PD-L1 as a former smoker, I still prefer single agent pembrolizumab alone. I still prefer to give immunotherapy because I have plenty of patients now who got immunotherapy alone, had that dramatic response, 2 years go by, they're off immunotherapy, 2 more years go by, and they are still in remission, right? I want patients to have that experience of few toxicities, great response. The gamble is in that patient who has lower level PD-L1, medium smoking history, you're not sure if chemo's better or immunotherapy's better, and you say, look, let's just go for it and give both together. And I've done that in some PS2 patients where I was really worried about them. I was like, we have one shot here. Let's pile our drugs on, try to get a response. And if they tolerate it, it maximizes your chance of getting a good outcome.
What about, you mentioned the data that's been coming out very, very recently on chemotherapy and immunotherapy in squamous. Right now, what do you think is the ideal regimen for a patient like that?
Right now, I've not done it yet. It's not changed the FDA label. The most impressive data to me was carboplatin, paclitaxel, pembrolizumab. And so the next time I see an advanced squamous, that's going to be a hard conversation that I'm going to have. I'm not sure that's being reimbursed yet, but I think we can see that the bar is moving and pretty soon we're going to be giving upfront triplet therapy. It just depends on how the data matures and which of that data leads to a regulatory approval first.
If you could, would you rather use nab-paclitaxel and avoid the steroids?
There was also some data with carbo-nab-paclitaxel. You know, nab-paclitaxel is weekly. I don't know if you've ever driven into Longwood in Boston, but it's a pain in the butt. And so my patients don't tend to like weekly visits. In patients who can tolerate the weekly visits, it's a reasonable approach. I guess it does depend how the label comes together. You know, in terms of cost, nab-paclitaxel costs more. Pembrolizumab costs more. What's the most important piece there? I would negotiate for the pembrolizumab before I'd negotiate for the nab-paclitaxel. And so we'll see which of those ends up going into a label.